Muscles. Since lifetime employment is a form of fat that a flat world simply cannot sustain any longer, compassionate flatism seeks to focus its energy on how government and business can enhance every worker's lifetime employability. Lifetime employment depends on preserving a lot of fat. Lifetime employability requires replacing that fat with muscle. The muscles workers need most are portable benefits and opportunities for lifelong learning. Why those two? Because they are the most important assets in making a worker mobile and adaptable. You don't want people to feel that they have to stay with a company forever simply to keep their pension and health benefits. The more the workforce feels mobile in terms of healthcare, pension benefits, and lifelong learning possibilities, the more it will be willing and able to jump into the new industries and new job niches spawned by the flat world and to move from dying companies to thriving companies. Creating legal and institutional frameworks for universal portability of pensions and healthcare, in addition to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, will help people build up such muscles. Today, roughly 50% of Americans don't have a job-based pension plan other than Social Security. Those who are fortunate enough to have one cannot easily take it with them from job to job. What is needed is one simple, universal, portable pension scheme, along the lines proposed by the Progressive Policy Institute, that would get rid of the confusing welter of 16 different tax-deferred options now offered by the government and consolidate them all into a single vehicle. This universal plan, which you would open with your first job, would encourage workers to establish 401k tax-deferred savings programs. Each worker and his or her employer would make contributions of cash, bonuses, profit sharing, or stock, depending on what sorts of benefits the specific employer offered. These assets would be allowed to build up tax-free in whatever savings or investment portfolio options the worker chose. But if and when it came time to change jobs, the worker could take the whole portfolio with him or her and not have to either cash it out or leave it under the umbrella of the previous employer. Rollover provisions do exist today, but they are complicated and many workers don't take advantage of them because of that. The universal pension format would make rollover simple, easy, and expected, so pension lockup per se would never keep someone from moving from one job to another. Each employer could still offer his or her own specific 401k benefit plan as an incentive to attract employees. But once a worker moved to another job, the investments in that particular 401k would just automatically dump into his or her universal pension account. With each new job, a new 401k could be started, and with each move, the benefits deposited in that same universal pension account. On the healthcare side, it is essential that we develop a scheme for portable health insurance that reduces some of the burden on employers for providing and managing coverage. Again, I favor the type of portable healthcare program proposed by PPI. The idea is to set up state-by-state collective purchasing pools, the way Congress and federal employees now cover themselves. These pools would set the rules and create the marketplace in which insurance companies could offer a menu of options. Each employer would then be responsible for offering this menu of options to each new employee. Workers could choose high, medium, or low coverage. Everyone, though, would have to be covered. This type of plan has worked like a charm for members of Congress, so why not offer it to the wider public? Needy and low-income workers who could not afford to join a plan would get some government subsidy to do so. But the main idea is to establish a government-supervised, regulated, and subsidized private insurance market in which government sets the broad rules so that there is no cherry-picking of healthy workers or arbitrary denial of treatment. The healthcare itself is administered privately, and the job of employers is to facilitate their workers' entry into one of these state pools and, ideally, help them pay for some or all of the premiums, but not be responsible for the healthcare themselves. In the transition, though, employers could continue to offer healthcare plans as an incentive, and workers would have the option of going with either the plan offered by their employers or the menu of options available through the state purchasing pools. One can quibble about the details of any of these proposals, but I think the basic inspiration behind them is exactly right. In a flattening world where worker security can no longer be guaranteed by Fortune 500 corporations with top-down pension and health plans, we need more collaborative solutions among government, labor, and business that will promote self-reliant workers, but not just leave them to fend for themselves. When it comes to building muscles of employability, government has another critical role to play. Each century, as we push out the frontiers of human knowledge, work at every level becomes more complex, requiring more pattern recognition and problem solving. In the pre-industrial age, strength was a real service that lots of people could sell on the farm or in the workshop. With the invention of the electric motor and steam engine, though, physical strength became less important. Farming became a more knowledge-intensive activity, with GPS satellites guiding tractors to make sure all the rows being planted were straight. That modernization, plus fertilizer, put a lot of people out of work at the previous wage they were earning in agriculture. Society as a whole looked at this transition from traditional agriculture to industrialization and said, "This is great. We will have more food and better food at lower costs, plus more people to work in factories." However, muscle-bound field hands and their families said, "This is a tragedy. How will I ever get a job in the industrial economy with only muscles and a sixth-grade education? I won't be able to eat any of that better, cheaper, plentiful food coming off the farms. We need to stop this move to industrialization." Somehow we got through this transition from an agriculture-based society 100 years ago to an industrial-based one, and still ended up with a higher standard of living for the vast majority of Americans. How did we do it?